right, let's start. Joey, let's clap. Ready?
Are you kidding me? Let's just clap whenever you feel like it. You know, today I had a cheese.
Tell them what you did.
You all, we have a live audience, and Joey and I have a different link because for some reason we're the hosts of this show, and I sent everyone the host link. So everyone in our audience, 100-something people, all came on. I'm a mess. Roll the music. Get me out of here. I just want to talk about Diddy.
Oh, deep breaths, my love. Hello, Ellen Marsh.
Oh, you're okay. Yeah, you okay? Go, you do it. Yeah, we switch
roles. She's on. She's on one today.
Go ahead.
She is on one today. You better change your attitude before I get to New York.
Go ahead. Start it off. Go for it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to True Crime Rundown, the show where we are giving you day by day updates on the P. Diddy trial and the Karen Reed trial, and of course we're going to cover other topics, but I am your host, Joey Taranto, and across from me is my co-host on the verge of a nervous breakdown, Ellen Marie Marsh. Ellen, how are you, my love?
I'm fine. I'm fine and great and good and fine. Everything's fine. We didn't just have 100-something people on our screen. The best is just seeing everyone's boomer face. Am I in the machine?
Why am I here?
Am I in the machine? And it's all my fault. It's not Joey's fault. He keeps saying we posted the wrong link. No, I posted the wrong link, bitches. We're here for the rundown. Joey, are we going to make a jingle for the rundown?
We can if you want. I can call Joel Wagner and be like, but it would be really fast. It has to be like, bub up, bub up, bub up, bub up, true crime rundown, bub up, bub up, bub up.
Like a typewriter?
Yeah.
And then we'd have to teach the kids what a typewriter is. Let's just do it. Ready? 5, 6, 7, 8.
True crime rundown. True crime run down.
And that's Kat. Hey, you all, we're here. This is really fun and really stressful. This is replacing my downtime.
Okay. All right. You're fine. What are we starting with? Are we want to start with P. Diddy or Karen Reed?
Let's do P. Diddy. Started with Karen Reed the other day.
Okay.
So we're just going to go over some of the testimony. You all, I'm going through this and I'm reading all the CNN updates and I'm going on X, which I haven't been on there for what feels like years. And so I'm just going to kind of go over the highlights and the lowlights. We're on day 9 of the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking and racketeering trial. We missed you the other day. Harris did a bang up job. She texted me the other day and was like, I feel like I was better than Joey.
Great. Did she also sound like she was in a wind tunnel? I'm sure she did. Yeah, so is it Cootie or Kudai? Cootie.
It's Kid Cudi, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
Because we have stuff to catch up on. So I'll catch you up, and Joey, you just jump in when you know stuff.
Okay.
And I help. Some of the highlights for me, and this is just what I find compelling, and of course we can't get to everything, but these are the things that caught my eye. The other day, we saw Cassie Ventura's mom, Regina, on the stand. She was there corroborating a lot of Cassie's stories. She talked about a lot of altercations that she saw, that she witnessed, and she actually confronted Diddy. More on that in a minute. She talked specifically about two altercations. One was from 2011, and Mama Regina said that it was around the Christmas... What, honey?
What? I didn't say anything!
Oh, I thought you said something. Is Tabitha still here? It was probably Tabitha. It was around the Christmas holidays, and Cassie was going home to Connecticut, and she came home with a really large bruise on her back.
Oh, God.
And her mom inspected her body and was like, what is all this stuff? She had actually texted her mother previously, and of course all of those texts were shown to the jury, saying that Diddy found out she was dating someone else, which they were broken up. At that time, he had threatened to release the freak off videos on Christmas.
Jesus.
So then he blackmailed Cassie's family for $20,000. What a weird number for a billionaire. And he essentially said, I want you to pay for all of the expenses that I've spent on Cassie. Send me $20,000 or I release the freak-off tapes. And of course, the parents are terrified. They know this man is unpredictable. He is very scary. And they had to comply. So the family takes out a second mortgage on their house to send the $20,000 to Diddy to ensure their daughter's safety, because they don't know what he's going to do. And then a couple days later, sent the money back. Diddy just sent the money back. No explanation, just returned the money. Now, another incident that Mama Regina told the jury was something that happened in 2016. And this was also something that Cassie testified about. So they're corroborating each other's story. Diddy took Cassie's phone and looked through it because he suspected that she was dating an unnamed NFL player. Down bitch Mama Regina was not playing. She went out and confronted Diddy face to face and demanded Cassie's phone back. And she just served as another person that said, I saw her bruises, I knew her stories. And Mama Regina was the first one to take pictures. And she's like, you never know.
Wow. And that was in 2016?
Yes, that one was in 2016. And the other one was in 2011. And she provided texts, she provided pictures. So I thought that was very compelling. It was obviously very dramatic. You know, nobody wants to sit there and look at their daughter's abuser and recount all the things that have happened to their daughter. It was really heartbreaking from what I understand. Another person that was really important was one of Diddy's former assistants, David James. Now, he worked for Diddy from 2007 to 2009. He had a lot of things to say. He had a lot of stories. This guy, he wanted to work in the music industry. He saw an ad in, you know, a publication to go work at Bad Boy. He hand-delivered his resume to Bad Boy Records. He really wanted to work under Diddy. A couple of shocking instances that he recalled was in 2008, they went on a run for burgers. They had gone to, you know, Mel's Diner in LA.
Yeah.
And they came back and was like, oh my gosh, funny story. I just saw Suge Knight outside in LA. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Diddy hears that Suge Knight is somewhere. And for those of you who don't know, Suge Knight is the co-founder of basically the rival recording studio, Death Row Records. Suge Knight is currently incarcerated. That's a whole separate story. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. He demands that David James drive him down to face off with Suge Knight. Guns were shown and they were like, what are you doing here? It was like a peacocking face-off. And he was just wanted to like go start shit with Suge Knight.
Great.
It was very important because he was talking about how grueling his job was. He worked 20 hours a day.
Jesus.
20 hours a day. And he told a couple of other stories about he sort of became close to Cassie. They were in Miami once smoking a cigarette outside. And she's like, do you like this life? It's really scary. And he just knew that Cassie definitely wanted out.
Yeah.
I think bigger than that was George Kaplan's testimony. Do you know this guy?
No.
So George Kaplan was Diddy's former executive assistant. This guy was subpoenaed. He said, cool, I got this subpoena. Just so you know, I'm going to exercise my Fifth Amendment right on the stand. I'm not going to say anything. You can call me up there. I'm going to exercise my right to remain silent. I'm not doing anything unless you grant me immunity. And the judge was like, done. Immunity given. And George Kaplan took the stand. He also said it was a really grueling job and he was always threatened to be fired. And he would do these preposterous things. Now, he's an executive assistant. He's not like a PA kid running errands.
Yeah, yeah.
But Diddy sent him out for some kind of electrolyte water and he wanted a big size. And the store he went to only had medium sizes. So he got him 2 medium sizes. Diddy lost his shit and just threatened to fire him. All of these character things, of course, are not part of the sex trafficking or racketeering charges.
Right.
But all of this character stuff is building up to show that he is a wildly erratic and unpredictable human being. But George had a lot of other information. One of the scariest parts of his testimony was he told the story of being on a plane and he heard the sound of screaming, glass breaking in the back, and he walked in and saw Diddy holding a whiskey glass up in his hand. Now, I'm going to try and explain this the best I can. Cassie was on the bed with her legs up in the air, almost like she was trying to kick and stop him from attacking her.
Wow.
When George came in, he said it was a private jet, but it was full of people. And Cassie screamed, "Isn't anybody seeing this?" And then the federal prosecutor, Maureen Comey, said, "Did you look away?" And he nodded his head and said, "Yes." And then the prosecutor said, "After you looked away, what did you see?" And he just said, "More glass breaking and chaos." And then the prosecutor continued and said, "Did his security staff do anything in response?" And his response was nothing. So then the prosecutor says, "Why didn't you do anything when you saw that?" And all of the notes from the transcript said that he gave a really heavy sigh and said, quote, "I was 23 years old.
Wow.
All I wanted to do was have a great job in the entertainment industry." He couldn't believe his fortune for working for a, quote, icon. And he was concerned that speaking out against someone as powerful as Diddy could jeopardize his well-being. Another incident that George Kaplan testified to was he got a call on the intercom at his home. This was in 2015, to come to the bedroom. And he walked in and he saw Cassie, obviously really upset, with a cut and bruised forehead. And he admitted he just ignored Cassie, walked to Combs. He worked for Combs. And he said, "Go pick up all of these over-the-counter remedies, things with witch hazel and arnica in it." He did that. Another time with another girlfriend, I forget her name. Oh my gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Gina, I think it was. He said that one day Diddy got mad and threw these decorative apples. He said he was really angry, throwing the apples really hard. And he said he just saw the girl trying to shield herself. And he again admitted that he didn't intervene. And he just kept saying, quote, "I was a young kid trying to make it in the entertainment industry." So this man, George Kaplan, said this on the stand, quote, "The central reason I left my job as Mr. Combs's assistant was I was not comfortable or aligned with the physical behavior that had been going on that I had seen over the course of my time working for him."
Hmm.
And so that's the reason why he quit. I say this is a really important testimony because I have said in several capacities, Diddy couldn't do this alone.
Yeah, yeah.
It was everybody that turned a blind eye. I understand being a 23-year-old kid and seeing this terrifying mogul doing these awful things. And what do you do when you're a kid? So I think that the penance of coming and testifying and speaking his truth is great. However, there are so many people who were complicit in all of this disgusting behavior.
Well, that's how powerful people like that stay in power. They instill fear in everyone, threaten them. I don't think he's ever not threatened the people in his inner circle or even people that doesn't give a shit about. He has threatened everyone. And that's how he was able to maintain his power. I mean, I think about myself at 23 years old. I would have had no idea how to handle something like that. I'm very curious if he ever reached out to Cassie to apologize, because I'm sure he lives with that.
Very much so. I think it was very interesting that he was going to plead the fifth.
Wow.
He's like, "You can call me. I'm not going to say anything." And he has the right to do so. Now, the Kid Cudi stuff. What do you know about Kid Cudi?
I don't know the timeline of Cassie and Diddy's relationship. I know that they were together off and on over the years, right?
Yeah, they were together from 2007 till 2018. But yes, off and on. And he had other girlfriends and Kim Porter was in and out of his life. Throughout this trial, many people have said that Diddy always said that Kim was his woman. Kim was his soulmate. So Kim was always there, and Cassie and Kim knew about each other, but there were other girlfriends as well.
Oh.
And Cassie dated other people. Cassie dated Kid Cudi in 2011.
And then she called him to say, "Oh my God, Diddy found out about us." and threatened her, she told him, I am being abused. He is abusive.
Yeah.
He hits me. He becomes violent. I mean, yeah. I wonder Kid Cudi what he's thinking and like, fuck, how can I help? Because someone like Diddy is a life ruiner, can destroy you so quickly. And has done that to many people.
So he recalls the day this all happened. He gets a call from Cassie at about 5:30, 6 a.m. She's nervous. She's scared. Diddy found out about us. So Kid Cudi took Cassie to a hotel to hide her. And then a woman by the name of Capricorn, who was a very trusted employee of Diddy. So Capricorn reached out to Kid Cudi and said, Diddy just forced me and someone else to drive to your house and go break in. So then Kid Cudi calls Diddy and was like, motherfucker, bleep, 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 I'm over here waiting for you. Kid Cudi heads back to his house. The first thing he noticed are his security cameras were moved and then disabled as well. Holmes broke into Kid Cudi's home. It was Christmas time. It was December 11th. All of his Christmas presents were open, unwrapped, open. He had shut his dog in the bathroom. By the time he actually arrived, there was no one in his house. And Kid Cudi called the police and made a report about the break-in. The next couple weeks, he keeps getting texts from Diddy saying, we need to figure this out. We need to figure this out. And Kid Cudi's like, yeah, you broke into my house and traumatized my dog. I think we're good. About 2 weeks later, his Porsche gets lit on fire.
Stop it.
Firebombed. You know, they provide all the evidence, all of the pictures. Now, the jury had already heard grumblings of this story from Cassie, but obviously this is Kid Cudi's story to tell because this was, again, just things that Diddy would do when he got jealous or was threatened in any way. The reason that this arson charge is very important is this is an element of the racketeering charge.
Got it.
Organized crime.
Got it.
This is what the prosecutors allege, that Holmes sent some people, sent some guys, they sliced open the convertible of his car, and what is it called? A Molotov into the car and bombed his car. So finally, Kid Cudi was like, okay, this is out of control. I will have a sit down with you. Meets him at the Soho House in LA. Hey, what's up? Like you didn't break into his house and light his car on fire. He said that he was sitting there like a Marvel supervillain, his words, and he was really calm and was like, hey, yeah, what's up? Like, let's clear the air. We used to be homies. You know Cassie's my girl. And he was like, I mean, you were broken up. Okay. They talked, shook hands, and then Kid Cudi was like, are you gonna come clean about your car? And he said, Diddy looked him straight in the eye and said, I don't know what you're talking about.
About your car? Oh, about my car. Got it.
Did I say your car? Yeah, my car.
Yeah.
So this is really interesting. During the cross-examination, this guy, Brian Steele, he is so smug. I talked about it on Moms and Mysteries. He is a smug piece of shit.
But he was so good in West Side Story on Broadway. Did you see him? He was really good.
No, Brian Steele, not Ryan Steele.
Oh, got it. Sorry.
So during the cross, the defense says, did you know that DNA samples were taken from the fire incident? They don't produce the DNA samples. What are we talking about? And he goes, did you know that there was a female trace DNA on the car? And he's like, I didn't know anything about that, but okay. What I'm getting at is Brian Steele's line of questioning was alleging that Cassie had something to do with it.
Got it.
Because he was saying, she did you dirty, right? Like, Diddy, she did this. He's painting Cassie out to be some shady bitch.
Sure.
And that she had something to do with the fire. It should be said, Cassie and Kid Cudi only dated for a year and a half, and he made it very clear that he loved Cassie very much, but she came with all this extra stuff.
I'm sure.
And he couldn't deal with it. This is the bare minimum. All kinds of harassment, all kinds of threats. And he was like, I can't live like this.
No.
So the fallout was nothing bad. And like you said, they had asked him, oh God, this is so fucking gross. They had asked him about the physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And Brian Steele said, did Cassie confide in you that she had been physically abused? And he said, yes. And then Brian's like, but not sexually abused, right? And he's like, no, what? It was so out of pocket. But just wait. Brian was off the charts today. He asked Kid Cudi if him and Cassie were intimate. He's like, bro, we dated for a year and a half. The judge scolded him.
The lawyer.
Yeah. He got a public talking to and completely reprimanded by the judge. They were like, you're asking ridiculous questions and you know you are. You know better than that. Are we going to have a problem? He got red for filth.
And what was his reaction?
Nothing. He was, yes, I know. Are you going to do it again? No, I'm not. No. I mean, don't fuck around with a judge.
Never fuck around with a judge.
It's their courtroom.
Yeah.
Another testimony that was interesting, very brief, was Myla Morales, and she was Cassie and Diddy's makeup artist. It was important to hear her testimony about covering up her bruises and scratches over the years or cuts, but she did tell one story about Grammy weekend in 2010, and they came in a flurry into a hotel room, went in the bathroom, slammed the door, and she just heard screaming and shouting and yelling, and then Diddy stormed out of the room. Cassie came out. She had a swollen eye, a busted lip, and knots on her head. She was asked if she called the police, and she said, quote, I didn't. I was afraid for my life.
Jesus.
Now, the defense is flailing at this point. They go back to that incident in the hotel room with the makeup artist, and they were like, so she walked in, this happened, and then they leave. But did you see what happened? And the lady was like, so she walked in without a swollen eye, a busted lip, and knots on her head. And she walked out with a swollen eye, a busted lip, and knots on her head. 2 + 2 = 5. No, I didn't fucking see it with my own eyes. Am I meant to believe she punched herself in the face? What is your point? What's the point of that question? No, I didn't see it. I heard it, and then I saw the result.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Am I overwhelming you?
No, not at all. It's just wild. I think my heart breaks for this woman who experienced so much abuse, both sexually and physically, and could not escape it.
She wasn't the only one.
I know, but I mean, this is the one person that we're talking about right now, and it's just, what a monster.
This is very interesting. A witness for the government came up, and it was a general manager at a well-known Beverly Hills hotel. And Diddy had been staying there for over 10 years. And he testified that every time Diddy would stay in the hotel, they would have to mark that room as out of service the next day in order to properly deep clean the room from all the baby oil and candle wax. And they said, we used to put all kinds of extra charges on the room. They never fought it. $500 for this, $1,000 for that. And their baby oil doesn't come out very easily. He recalled all of the noise. Tons of people were going in. They don't ask questions, but it took a full day to turn the room back over. What is that face?
Give me a second. I just need 30 seconds. Give me 10 seconds to process what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, Lord. It's just crazy. I'm just saying, like, the man got away with so much because people were afraid to say no to him.
Someone saying that they fear for their life.
Yeah.
That's very real.
Yeah.
Knowing full well what someone is capable of and being like, I can't mess with that.
I mean, I get it. And Vicky said money also forgives a lot. And you're not wrong. And also when you have that kind of power and influence, you can get people to flood a hotel's Yelp reviews or tank them or publicly shame them or make up a story if you want and destroy them.
There was a guy on the stand the other day. I forget what his name was. I saw this on Stephanie Sue's page and she had said the first man to come up after the video incident of 2016 was a security guard, and Diddy came over to him, didn't ask him to stay quiet, but handed him a fist full of bills. He doesn't know how much it was because he didn't take it. And he said the top bills were hundreds. And they said, how much do you think was there? And he was like, I really don't know. And they were like, well, with your hands, show us how big the wad was. And the man went like this. And Stephanie Sue did the math and was like, it was a big guy's hand, and like did the math as to like how big that would be if they were hundreds. And she calculated about $30,000. Now, Gene Deal, his former security guard, is very outspoken all over social media. And he was like, Diddy would drop 10 G's just to make someone go away. There was somebody that went with Diddy with like a little doctor's bag full of cash and wads. He would just make it rain. He didn't give a fuck. Could you imagine someone getting $30,000? That's a life-changing amount of money.
No wonder this man, he has no sense of, he's like, I can make anything go away. There's no accountability because there was never any punishment. He just makes everything go away.
Through this whole journey of my course on P. Diddy, I've watched a lot of interviews because I never really paid attention to him. When you hear this man talk about himself, his work, the God complex.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the opposite of imposter syndrome is what he has. It's fascinating to hear someone who thinks so highly of himself. It's a sickness. I do have a question about the baby oil for anyone who is in nursing or medication or whatever. Medication? What am I talking about? You can't use baby oil as lube, right? You can't put baby oil in your vagina.
I don't know about that, because I don't deal with them. People are saying you should not.
I just don't understand the baby oil thing. I have learned more about baby oil, and also I do not need to hear the word Astroglide one more time either in any kind of court document.
It doesn't mean that necessarily the baby oil was used as lube. There's a world where it was, but there are people who like to cover a body in oil because it highlights it, it makes it shine, especially if you have like a big butt or big boobs.
Oh, what's that sex with the oil? It's not baby oil. It's a certain kind of oil. And you have a blow up bed. What is that called? Someone in the chat tell me. Where people's bodies are just sliding. I literally just put this together right now.
I have never heard of that in my life. And I've heard of a lot of things.
Dork sided sex. That's what someone said in the chat. You had a question about the racketeering charges.
I'm curious about how they're going to prove that. And one of the things that I saw when I was looking up updates is that there was a talking head on CNN who was saying that the racketeering charges are going to be hard to prove. I do think that there's a world where they can get assault, sexual assault charges.
There is no sexual assault charge.
Not what I meant to say. I think that they'll be able to prove human trafficking.
Yeah.
I will tell you, sometimes it's a lot because I just can't believe that someone has been allowed to do this for 30 years. And then again, like there are other people who've done it longer. It's a lot to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
There is one thing that really bothered me after Cassie's testimony, where she talked explicitly about the abuse, the things that she was subjected to, forced to do. There was a side of the internet that decided to make memes and crack jokes about, oh, LOL, Cassie's husband listening to her testimony being like, what? And it's like, fuck you. Don't do that. I'm sure Cassie is probably very therapized now, has done a lot of work on herself, especially after having a conversation with someone who was like, this world is crazy. And to leave that world, do the work on yourself. I'm sure she has found solace in having a man who loves her and supports her. And to reduce it to something as, oh, he's finding this all out in court, and he's probably like, damn, my girl did what? Fuck off. She's a human being.
Yeah.
And she was a baby.
Yeah. That man is a wonderful man. Alex Fine is his name. People in the courtroom also said whenever they were showing pictures on the screen of Cassie, he would look at them. And if there was a picture of Diddy and Cassie, he would just glare at Diddy. Just burn just holes through the back of his head.
Oh, you know that man. If he had 5 minutes alone. Yeah. If he had 5 minutes alone in a room, we would never see Diddy again.
Absolutely. I just want to go back before we jump to Karen Reed. I kind of disagree with you about the racketeering charge because people have already testified about his illegal guns. George Kaplan testified that he went out and bought drugs for Diddy. Organized crime is just getting people to do your dirty work.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see that talking head because it's very possible I don't know what I'm talking about. But I actually think that the organized crime part of it is very easy to do. I mean, he sent someone to do his bidding with the firebomb.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the thing I was going to tell you. I saw this interview of Gene Deal. You know, he's kind of a bombastic guy. He's got a lot to say. He made a prediction.
He's going to get in the middle of this trial. Watch and see what I'm telling you. He's going to get in the middle of this trial because he can't take it. He can't take sitting right there and hearing all his dirty deeds with Cassie. Somebody eventually that he paid, what, $30 million to. He's hearing all his deeds in front of him. And he ain't high. He ain't drunk. No more Sir Cop for him. Is this a cock or Ciroc? Which one is it? Both.
Wait, he goes, he both. Break,
I'm telling you. He gonna end up asking this defense team, see, can y'all still get me that deal? See, can y'all still get me that deal? Some kind of deal. Diddy's gonna make a deal.
You think he's gonna plea out?
I don't even know if the deal would still be on the table. A narcissist hates to be confronted with their own actions.
Yeah.
And in life, he's never had to face the repercussions of his own actions. He pays someone,
right,
kills someone, lights some shit on fire, and now he has to sit there and listen to everything. And everyone has reported he's emotionless. And he can't be taking substances.
Wow.
Many, many people have reported that they've never seen Diddy not high.
Wow.
Okay, last thing before we go to Karen Reed. Does TMZ come up on your timeline?
I never watch TMZ.
I don't either. Just like has been coming up on my TikTok.
Sure.
Because I sit, I take an edible, I debrief on my Diddy every night.
Yeah.
All this shit has been popping up and it's pro Diddy. And I'm like,
what
the fuck, TMZ? And I thought it was just like one thing and I'm like, oh, they're being fair. They're being fair. Whatever. Two things, three things, four things. So I'm sitting there being like, what the fuck happened to TMZ? And then I found this.
Welcome to the Two Angry Men podcast and welcome, Your Honor. I'm Harvey Levitt.
And I'm Mark Garagos.
Harvey Levitt and Mark Garagos have a podcast.
What?
Mark Garagos, he was a consultant, and Kenny Garagos, his daughter, is the lead defense attorney for Diddy. They have a fucking podcast together. That's why TMZ is being pro-Diddy. What's happening? I mean, TMZ can be fucking wild, but I mean, they're going to the mat for Diddy.
And they're talking about the Diddy trial.
Garagos isn't a lawyer on it. He was a consultant on it because he's working on the Menendez case. His daughter, Penny, is the lead defense attorney. Kenny Garagos.
Wow.
Oh my God. I can't. All right. Joey's like, this is a mini-sode, y'all. Okay. Karen Reed. Let me just see if there's any questions from the chat. Chat, do you have any questions? I'll take one. Someone said, I want to hear Tabitha's thoughts. Who said that? Who am I just talking about? Ashlyn.
For those of you who are just wondering, Tabitha is still part of our podcast. She's not in the audience. She is here. Screen off. Muted. We think we might have lost Tabitha. She stopped. Well, she never responded.
Sarah wrote, is Tabitha okay? How long do we think this will be going? Till Christmas. Is Diddy getting special privileges in prison? No. Nothing that money can't buy. He has unlimited commissary, obviously, but he's not getting special privileges, and he was pissed that Luigi Mangione was. All right. 20th day of testimony on the Karen Reed case. Joey, did you see what fuckface Bev did yesterday at the top of the day?
No. I saw that or heard that she and the defense attorney got into a really heated exchange.
Oh, I didn't see that. When was that?
I could be wrong. Okay, never mind. I could be wrong. That could be old news. Go on with what you're going to say.
So I have some insider scoop.
From who?
I can't tell you my sources.
Okay.
Bev gets
Orfe
up there with
it's
her
Orfe
fucking...
Orfe told you.
With her fucking frizzy bob from hell. She's such a piece of shit. Is she single? Does somebody fuck that?
Who are we talking about? Who'd you say?
Bev.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, jury, I need to see you at sidebar one by one. One by one. So everyone was thinking that somebody was talking, something was on social media.
Oh.
A couple days before, she was like, listen, I know I'm a biased piece of shit, and it's very obvious I'm for the Commonwealth, but the jury, you gotta control your facial expressions. You gotta not sigh, not roll your eyes. You gotta appear impartial. Bitch, monkey see, monkey do. I'll do it when you do it, okay?
Yeah.
Turns out it wasn't about social media. It was about that. Because when Shannon fucking Redface Burgess was on the stand, they were aghast. And she reprimanded them all. And then she moved two jurors away from each other. That was the whole drama with shutting down the cameras, clearing the courtroom, talking to the jurors. I was like, right, but you're going to put a fucking sausage casserole on the stand saying he's an expert, discrediting, quite frankly, this entire trial, and you're reprimanding them for sighing and rolling their eyes?
Didn't she also tell them, like, don't talk this weekend? Like, you have the weekend off, don't talk about the case, don't talk to each other.
So she says that every morning. Legally, a judge has to say that any morning. Hello, jurors. Did you talk about this case? Have you engaged in social media? Every day, a jury has to swear that they haven't talked about the case. I was on a murder trial. I went home every day and told My ex-husband. Okay, come for
nice.
Me. I was 7 months pregnant. That was a whole drama that didn't end up being a drama because the reason they wanted to talk was because of the second day of testimony of Shannon Burgess. Now, Harris and I covered the disaster that was the first day. And you all, it just got worse the second day. Did you see any of his testimony?
I saw clips and I'm like, is your first name expert? And that's how you got called an expert witness? Because there's no expertise here.
Could you imagine if I have a boy... because it would fly better. His first name's going to be Doctor. It was such a disgrace. So Brennan tried to go back and question him and be like, isn't Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, they don't have a bachelor's degree. And the defense objected. Bev sustained it.
Of course she did. Of course she did.
No, she sustained it for the defense, which is shocking.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Here is my thought on Shannon Burgess. I don't care what you say, because he had to tell us, because he was under oath, that he did not have a bachelor's degree. However, he told the rest of the world he did, and then called himself an expert and went to trial, testified, when a woman's life hangs in the balance and the potential for somebody's murderer to not be held accountable. That's why I don't care about him. This wasn't a whoopsie daisy. That is resume fraud. Maybe you're talking about the exchange between Shannon Burgess and Alessi, because they kind of had a heated moment. Is that what you were talking about?
Perhaps. I mean, you know, the whole thing is I think what the defense is doing is setting up what their big moment is going to be once they get to start bringing up their witnesses. I think one of the things that they're going to be banking on is the data from the EDR, which is the event data recorder. You and I talked about this earlier. Most new cars have what is called an event data recorder. So Alessi asked for it in court, and it's basically like an anti-collision system, which does different things. If you're about to get into an accident, it might like slam the brakes for you and tighten your seatbelt. And then there are things like mid-collision and then post-collision. I was backing out of my garage the other day and I didn't know that there was a car coming. It slammed the brakes, tightened my seatbelt, and I was like, what just happened?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Also, the event data recorder literally records it. So all the information is there. And the thing is that if Karen Reed hit him, it would have stopped. The anti-collision system would have stopped her car. So she couldn't. Even if she hit a 200-pound man, the car would have registered that. Also, the car would not have allowed for it. The car would have stopped on its own. And I think that that's what they're getting to. And so Shannon, when Alessi started pressing him on that, that's when he started to really get, I would say, triggered, because it wasn't included in Burgess's initial report. The EDR, I mean.
When did that technology become?
It's been out for several years. Not to be confused with electronic dance music, Ellen.
Are you saying specifically if the car felt a bump on the bumper?
I'm saying that if something happens, if there is a collision, especially with something as big as a 200-pound man, it would be recorded. There's a data recorder. 2021, they would have had it.
I don't know. The minute he lied on the stand, I was like, nothing you say matters, because we rely on, quote, expert witnesses. They're supposed to come in with no bias and all of the factual information. They don't work for either side. They represent the truth. They're supposed to interpret information that we don't understand. They're supposed to provide us clarity. They're supposed to be credible. That man was embarrassing. He was on the stand for 2 days and he said, poo-poo caca. If you're going to sit there and go through the minutiae and the nuanced timestamps and information that we can't understand, everything you say doesn't matter because you have undercut everything you are trying to tell us. Furthermore, if she were ever to be found guilty under God's green earth, this opens the door for post-conviction appeal.
Yeah.
Case closed. He's ruined it. The bottom line is the Commonwealth maybe, allegedly, put a man on the stand who called himself an expert, who didn't have basic credentials. I'm not saying you need a college degree to be smart, but you lied about it.
Yeah.
Then when Alessi pressured him about his degree and about not being truthful, he said he had every intention of obtaining a bachelor's degree, but, quote, work and life prevented him from finishing college. Work and life We all have work in life, bitch. So don't lie about it. Say, I don't have it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine?
No, but the point is that you lied. Again, for me, the thing is the fact that he is an expert and he specifically left out the trigger events that should have been included in his report, his expert report. Trigger events are a big indicator, especially if her car hit a 200-pound man. That was the clincher for me. But as she was leaving court today, Karen Reed told a reporter when asked how she was feeling, said, I feel great. I'm anxious. I'm ready to put on our case, which will be more robust than it was last year. I'm anxious mm-hmm. for everyone to yeah. learn what we know. And they're going to present a lot more witnesses than they did last year. And she said that it will be broader and deeper. I don't know if you saw that interview. She's so cunt. She really is. I don't mean a cunt. I mean that in the gay world, like, she's so cunt. Because she is fierce. She's confident. She knows. I think she knows that she's going to, once they present their side, I think she knows they're fucked.
This is why Karen never really fit in with that whole Canton townie crew. Karen was established. She is educated. She had a high-paying, powerful job.
Yeah.
She knows her shit. And she is going to go down in history as somebody who was like, I'm not taking
yeah.
this bullshit.
Yeah.
She could have taken a deal a long time ago. I want to know, anybody in the chat, what did you all think of Dr. Wolf's testimony? That really fucking sassy brain surgeon. Did you see him, Joey?
No.
He fucking clapped back at Alessi. Alessi asked some question and he goes, you could have just asked me straightforward. Sir, nobody asked for your commentary.
What did Alessi say when he did that?
Nothing. Alessi is a perfect gentleman. He is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Alessi is a genius. This man is a master at what he does. He can turn on a dime. He hears every word that everyone says. And this man, I would put my money, knows the law better than anyone in that courtroom.
Love it.
Bev has thrown some shit out and he'll be like, respectfully, Your Honor, you're an idiot. Alessi is a fucking king. I know Alan Jackson, he's a little flashier, he's a little wittier, but I fucking love this man. Melissa says Dr. Wolf is a dick. He didn't help them at all. He volunteered things he wasn't asked. Yeah, he is a brain surgeon, a neurosurgeon, and he was talking about the lacerations and talking about the head and talking about what could have happened, may have happened. Yes. Did we need a brain surgeon to say this? The thing is, brain surgeons work on brains that get oxygen,
right.
On living brains. He's never done an autopsy in his life. He has never examined a brain of a deceased person. And they asked him point blank, do you do autopsies? And he's like, no. And the only thing that I found interesting about his testimony was he surmised that he did not die immediately. That was very sad for me to hear. He said that he did not die as a result of a fall or from hypothermia. Again, information we've already been given. Cool. You're wasting our time and Bev's fucking collecting more of her retirement money.
I feel like the prosecution at this point is grasping at straws.
Right. So you admit you've seen a brain. The last one I'll go over is Christina Hanley. She was from the Massachusetts Crime Lab, and she's a forensic scientist. But it also said that she was an expert on glass and plastic fragments.
So many jobs.
There's so, it's just, what do you want us to focus on? Ugh. I know this sounds crazy. I'm thinking plastic fragments. You're an expert on glass and there's so many jobs.
Yeah.
I'm an expert on this pussy.
And what you don't know about me is I am a JNCOs expert. If there's ever a crime involving someone wearing JNCOs, I can tell you the year, the make, all of that, what raves they were worn to. JNCOs are my specialty. Thank you very much.
Again, this is all up for debate. She testified that the debris on John O'Keefe's sweatshirt, that he had red and clear plastic. But then during the cross, Alan Jackson, badass, pointed out that the glass on the bumper is not a match for the glass that was found near John O'Keefe's
body. So where did that glass come from?
Yeah, I don't know what the prosecution is doing. It's like they showed up for their final run through of a Broadway show and they're still calling line.
Yeah.
They don't know what the fuck
they're
doing.
Good luck, crazy bitches.
What are your thoughts on this minisode?
She was long-winded. No, it's all important information. I think that what Cassie is doing is really brave because the cards were stacked against her and she was dealing with, an extremely powerful man. Well, I think what the statute of limitations for abuse is like 5 years, but because this is, a federal charge, it's different. But like there was a world where she never got to tell her side. There was a world where she never got to expose him. She must be feeling such vindication and being able to sit in a courtroom, face him, and tell the world what kind of man he is. I'm sure it's a great way for her to take her power back, as she should.
You're right. She's amazing. That does it for this episode of The Rundown. On behalf of me and Joey and Tabitha, we want to thank you for joining us.
How is Tabitha? She's so quiet. Tabitha, you gotta come to a party sometime. You've been so fun. We just loved having you, Tabitha. My God, you are a treat.
Tabitha, sign off. Cat got your tongue?
You know what, Tabitha, pipe down. You've done too much.
Shut up, Tabitha. God damn it, I'm trying to talk about Diddy. Tabitha's always coming here, talking about how her mom used to wiggle her nose. Oh my God, I'm old. You all, please tell someone about The Rundown. Follow us on social media. Reminder, we're only posting this on the main feed, but join the Patreon if you want. That way you could come hang out with us in the chat. Until next time, I love you,
Joey. I love
Joey.
You too, Yellen. And Tabitha, I love you so much, baby.
Tabitha, get the fuck out! Bye now, bitches. Bye!
It's me, Tabitha.